Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the titles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This article was published on the 1st of December, 2020, and is entitled Blue Sky Identity. Now, a note for the people listening to the podcast, this is a blog about a technical specification, so it's very densely technical as you get in. I'm not sure you're going to get it by voice. You might need to read it. A further note, when I use the word blue sky, sometimes I'm saying it in terms of the Twitter campaign, which is @blue sky, and sometimes I'm using the capitalized combination word blue sky. So I'll say @blue sky for the first case and just blue sky for the second. Okay, here we go. Twitter announced Project @blue sky back in December 2019. I blogged about it, that's a link, supportively, and then reached out saying I was interested and was invited to join the conversation. Thanks. Several of us offered proposals. This is part of mine, concerned with how identity might work in a world of diverse federated social networks. Goal. On the internet, there are many entities that provide online conversations, whether short form like Twitter or bulletin board-esque like Reddit. Then there are a nearly infinite number of specialized communities for photographers, dog groomers, and the owners of particular types of boats or cameras. Let's call all these entities providers. @blue sky envisions allowing online conversations to span providers, which is to say, from inside Twitter, I could follow not only other Twitter accounts, but posts on my boat owner's forum, and vice versa. This is a straightforward and easy to understand, if not necessarily easy to build, vision, and might be worth doing by itself. In this simple vision, there's no linkage between Twitter Tim, Canadian web geek with a camera, and Boat Forum Tim, Jeannot NC795 tied up in Vancouver. For a lot of people, that's probably okay, or even desirable. But in some cases, people would like to take their identity, and perhaps their reputation, with them. If you're a big hotshot on Parler, you'd maybe like people on Twitter and your horse dressage conversations to know that you've got serious alt-right credentials. Ugh, shudder. This is a proposal for a higher-level form of cross-provider identity. Provider identity. Providers who participate in @blue sky have users with identities. They control user access and behavior. Let's call those provider identities, PIDs for short. It's easy to imagine a syntax to express this. I would be twitter.com/TimBray. This would open the door to using OAuth2 techniques like OIDC ID tokens, that's a link, for providers' identity assertions, which would have the advantage of excellent library support on most programming platforms. For those who care about decentralized identity, it can be represented, that's a link, in the OIDC framework. Any @blue sky post has an originating provider. This information would be valuable input to reputation and other filtering operations. It would not make sense to apply the same set of criteria to posts from 4chan as to those from a pediatric endocrinologist forum. Blue sky identity. Most users are likely content to remain associated with their home provider, but it would be a value to @blue sky to have a global notion of identity that is not tied to any provider. Let's call that a blue sky identity, or BID for short. A BID would typically be associated, let's just say mapped, with multiple PIDs, normally but not necessarily on different providers. The goal of the Blue Sky Identity Protocol is that multiple parties can easily maintain databases of mappings between PIDs and BIDs suitable for quick lookup, for example in reputation and search applications. A BID is represented by a globally unique, opaque bit string. There are multiple plausible ways to generate them, discussed below. The protocol assumes the existence of a reliable ledger service shared by all providers to which arbitrary messages can be committed and which are recorded immutably with strict ordering semantics. There are multiple plausible ways to implement the ledger discussed below. Note that the transaction load would be read mostly with a low update rate. In the following discussion, the word structured, when applied to provider posts and ledger messages, implies the use of an agreed-upon syntax specified as part of the @blue sky protocol to facilitate unambiguous assertion parsing. BID Identity Protocol. I propose that providers offer APIs to facilitate implementing this protocol, but it's the protocol that matters, so I'm focusing on that. The protocol assumes that the user has access to an account on a provider, which we'll call P1, and write access to the ledger. Claiming a new BID. Summary. The user generates a BID, makes a provider post claiming it, and records that post on the ledger. Step 1, the user generates a BID. Step 2, the user makes a structured post to P1, provider P1, containing the BID. Let's call this a BID claim post. Once the post has been created and the user knows its URL, the user commits a structured message to the ledger containing the URL of the BID claim post. Now the ledger contains a permanent immutable record of a PID-BID mapping. Note that there is no particular relationship between a BID and the PID where it was originally claimed. BIDs can be passed from PID to PID even in the case where the originating provider has ceased operation. Granting a BID from one PID to another. The protocol assumes that the user is executing on a computer with access to accounts on two providers, P1 and P2, and also to the ledger. Summary: a user creates a zero-knowledge proof that the owners of the two accounts know a shared secret, posts the proof to both providers, and records the URLs of the posts on the ledger. Step 1. The user creates an asymmetric key pair. Unusually, no special care need to be taken to secure the private key, which only needs to exist in one computer's memory for a few seconds. Step 2. The user creates a nonce, signs it with a private key, and makes a structured post to provider P1 containing the BID, the public key, the nonce, the signature, and the provider P2 PID, which is to be mapped to the BID. Let's call this a BID grant post. Step 3. The user creates a different nonce, signs it with a private key, and makes a structured post to P2 creating the BID, the public key, the nonce, the signature, and the PID on P1, which granted the BID mapping. Let's call this a BID accept post. Step 4. The user forgets the private key, presumably by overwriting it in memory. Step 5. Once both posts have been made to P1 and P2, the user commits a structured message to the ledger containing the URLs of the BID grant and BID accept posts. Let's call this a BID grant transaction. Now the ledger contains permanent immutable evidence backing the mapping of a BID from one PID to another. Unmapping a BID from a PID. Suppose the user's PID at provider P1 is bound to a particular BID. The user makes a structured post to P1 containing the BID. Let's call this a BID unclaim post. The user commits a structured message to the ledger containing the URL of the BID unclaim post. By processing the ledger in sequence, any software agent can build a consistent mapping between PIDs and BIDs. Single-use keys. The protocol asserts one more rule. No key pair can be used more than once in BID grant operations. That is to say, a software agent building a BID to PID map must remember which keys it has seen and ignore any BID grant transactions which reuse a previously used key. Implementation notes. To be useful, providers and other interested parties would use the ledger to generate and maintain a database of mappings between PIDs and BIDs. Presumably, it would be keyed by both PID and BID. The protocol requires a single-use key pair. It is assumed that storing and securing private keys is difficult and probably beyond the capabilities of many users of these APIs. Should a private key leak, it would allow an adversary to assert PID to PID linkages. This description of the protocol assumes user agents writing directly to the ledger. In practice, write access would be better limited to providers, which would provide APIs such as claim BID, grant BID, and unclaim BID, which could take care of enforcing protocol constraints such as single-use key pairs and correct structuring of messages while reducing ledger spam. A provider might limit a PID to a single BID claim. BID generation and ledger implementation. So here are some ways that BIDs could be generated. A BID could be a 128-bit integer, the first 64 bits identifying the provider where it was claimed. Any provider joining the at Blue Sky protocol would be given a 64-bit range and hand out BIDs in sequence. Some organization could hand out BIDs as a service. For example, an at Blue Sky nonprofit, IANA, Internet Society, the ITU. A BID could be a 64-bit integer. Pick one at random, and if there's a collision, very unlikely, by the way, discover at ledger commit time, give that one up, and retry with another. If the ledger were implemented as a blockchain, the BID could be the transaction hash for the transaction recording the BID claim. So there are some ways that the ledger could be generated. An organization such as that Blue Sky nonprofit, IANA, Internet Society, or the ITU could offer it as a service. It would not be particularly technically challenging. The ledger could be operated in a decentralized fashion based on blockchain technology. Since write transactions are rare, I mean, how often do people generate new global identities? The poor update throughput typical of blockchain implementations shouldn't be a problem. Conclusion. I'm not sure this is the optimal scheme for establishing a higher level shared identity construct in an at blue sky-like federated system. I might be prepared to argue that this is the simplest thing that could possibly work. Credits. The notion of using social media posts to establish key ownership was originated by Keybase.io back in the day. Paul Hoffman and Lauren Wood contributed comments that led to significant clarification. That's all, folks.